Blog Talk Radio.
And Blog Talk Radio kicked us off, but we want to continue it. And so we have Brother Lester Lovins back on. Are you there?
I am there.
Yeah, and now end up putting the shows together. But we want to, because part of why I'm asking it, you know, and I'm not trying to be sneaky, but part of why I'm asking is that some of why I was born was to build a safe zone. And so...
Mm-hmm.
It's been important, like, when you went into, you know, establishing that foundation, my paperwork is cool. But, like, looking at water, I've looked at, you know, I even got a recipe for moonshine, you know, so that if we got to drive a car, I'm trying to keep a car that they can't turn off, so that if something goes on with the newer cars, they can turn them off and turn your phones off if you got an issue. Which is very interesting, but I won't get off into that whole. You know, they wonder, well, why we can't catch the terrorists? Because you'd be lying on technology, like trying too much. And, you know, they went underground. you see what I mean? But we won't go there. But we'll get back to, you know, looking at water source we can find, you know, housing and housing development. You were elaborating on getting, you know, the 24 elders or the 24 people, half male and half female, you know, to look at how you would build structures. What structure is your preference? Let's go there right quick. If you were to build something, what would be your preference?
It would depend on the environment that we're talking about. My thing is to go out and talk with, or that's going to sound funny to people, communicate with the land itself. Spend some time just sitting and communing with the forces of nature in that environment and seeing what it says to me. You know, in other words, keep my mouth shut and keep my mind open, you know, and listen. And let that environment tell me what its needs are and what it can supply for me. And I, you know, when I said the 24 people, I would want perhaps an elder to maybe supervise, but I'm talking about young people, okay? Just see what nature tells us. What kinds of rocks are there? You know, is it sloping? Is it mountainous? Is it flat? You know, what kind of animal life is there? Because the animal life will teach us a great deal about sustaining ourselves in that environment. You know,
why would they teach you? So the people that listen, I'll go back and listen. Why would a bear tell you something different from a deer or a rabbit?
Well, you know, the natives, the indigenous people say that the bear is the grandmother, you know. They're the ones who, you know, travel, you know, 30 miles in a day sometimes. They know the land, and at the same time, they spend 2 to 3 months a year inside of the earth hibernating. They slow their metabolism down. So they're receiving information during the off season or the winter time. So they're prepared, they're fully educated for that next spring. They live much longer than a deer does. So, you know, they're the elders, you know. I wouldn't expect to go somewhere and, you know, pretend to be an elder when I got elders already there. You know, we're literally the new kids on the block. You know, it's I mean, you know, it's fun. Let me illustrate what I mean. You know, as funny as it may sound, you know, you're a mountain lion, you know, or you're lion or you're tiger, you know, they've been around for about 5 million years, but the cat has been around for 20 million years. They're the elders. They're the elders of the feline family, you know. So they the first thing a cat does every day, whether it's a big cat or a little cat, it goes and checks out its territory. You know, it wants to see if a tree is falling down. It wants to see, you know, what animals have passed through there. You know, what's the state of the water. You know, we rush through our environment. We need to pay much more attention to our environments, the environments that we live in. And you know, we rush through these things. You know, right now I see people on their cell phones or their tablets, and there's all kinds of nature, all kinds of miraculous lessons that nature is showing us, but people are too busy, you know, looking on some website to really see and absorb and commune and communicate with those forces that are out there. I'm not saying to get rid of the tablet. I'm saying equalize, and I don't mean equalize in the sense of equal time, but I'm saying spend some time, you know, paying attention to what grows there. You know, my grandma Cindy never endorsed the concept of a weed. She said weeds will tell you what nutrients are lacking. You thank the weed, because the weed will tell you what you need to do.
So if you watch the bear, you would think in that area we would be okay and live out of caves, or, you know, are you more in favor of, like, building a dome home or earthen home?
You know. Okay. People have personal preferences, and then there are group preferences. So, for example, you know, we've got to get away from these linear designs as far as the environments that we live in. We've got to be more well-rounded. We've got to have circular things and zigzags and sloping hills. You know, not just, I mean, the whole idea of flattening something out, you don't find that in nature, you know. You don't find straight lines in nature, okay? So, you know, we're the ones that project and interject those things onto the land and the environment. You find out what kind of wood, what kind of trees grow there, and how best, you know, if the tree can survive there, then, you know, that's telling you something. You know, if I was in the Southwest, I would be looking at perhaps, you know, maybe some mud or adobe structures. You know, use what you have in front of you, you know, and coordinate with the animal life that's around, okay? You don't want to keep the other members of the planet out. You know, they're essential for our survival. It's a unified group effort. And right now, you know, humans think of themselves as superior. And it's because we think of ourselves as superior, we think we can do whatever we want to nature. Well, that is the recipe for disaster. You know, we need to understand that. Oh, and here's the other concept: sustainability. Sustainability. You know, if I want to just put something up, I can. But how long is it going to last? You know, I remember many years ago, I was coming in my front yard. I was coming through my gate, and I saw an anthill. And it was overcast. You could tell it was about to rain. And I said, oh, my God. And I walked inside my house, and it rained, torrential downpour, you know. And I came out later, and all the, you know, all the litter or, the, you know, the trash that was on the street was washed away. And, you know, the sidewalk was clean from the stuff that people had put down there. And hair was still hanging, okay? So in terms of what is sustainable, these animals have done this a lot, or these animals and so-called insects have done this a lot longer than us. And part of the fact, the part of their ability to do it a lot longer than us is because they work together. They have a group mind as well as an individual brain or consciousness. Okay, we have that already. This whole idea, because people keep telling me about metaphysics. We are, all these things are already in effect. They're already there. We just have to be aware of it and tap into it and get it going.
Okay. Hey, you know, let's go to food.
Okay.
September, got another organization. What would be the top five foods that you would want planted, or, you know, or the top five foods that you should send people out and gather wherever there's abandoned grocery stores, you know, like that. Top five plants that folks should look for.
Okay. Once again, I'm going to give you my answer, but it's going to take me a moment to answer you.
So how could this build? I know.
Let me just babble on. Okay. you talked before. You mentioned before about reverse osmosis.
Yes.
Okay. Now I talked with the gentleman who does the testing for all the water supplements in this country. You know, when you have energized or structured water, you know, that's not considered to be water by law. That has to be classified as a supplement. And so they have to go through him and most of these supplements don't maintain the energization over a long period of time. So if you get the water when it's been energized, you know, like if you get it straight from the factory, or, you know, if you're in a store that deliver it pretty quickly, you're gonna get that. But he gave me a list of the 33 different methods for energizing water. And out of the 33, the least efficient, number 32, is reverse osmosis. So I'm not a person that criticizes anything. I believe that we start with whatever we have. What I'm trying to say is that whatever methods that we accumulate, whatever we have, we've got to energize that water with the four elements. So if, you know, so I've got to have a fire way of energizing that water. I've got to have an earth way of energizing that water. I've got to have an air way of energizing that water. And I've got to have a water way of energizing that water. And then, of course, in some cultures, they have the fifth element, which is either called ether or plasma or spirit. And so before I give you my answer in terms of the food, I would say the first food is the water, that if I'm energizing my water with those five elements, then those the energy from those five elements will be going into whatever it is that I'm planting and or consuming. So my first answer is the seeds. See, I'm not giving you specific food on this one. I'm saying that the seeds is something that you want to spend part of your crop should be devoted to gathering those seeds for your next year's development. And out of those seeds that you get, some of those should be devoted for your wintertime consumption, because when you sprout those seeds, sprout form, that's when you're getting the highest concentration of nutrition in relation to how easy it is for you to break it down in your body and to be absorbed by your system. So regardless of what the plan is, you better have your seeds with you. And if there was some kind of disaster, you better have that bag of seeds, you know, in your pack or your on your car or whatever you have. That should be automatic, because that's the most efficient way that you're going to get nutrition. As far as what would be the five foods that I would choose, I would say some form of nuts, because nuts have a high concentration of not only nutrients but oils and fats. You know, you need fat in order for the brain to function. The brain is 20% fat. You need your legumes and your beans. You need one in those category. I would say also you want to have your fungi, otherwise known to us as your mushrooms. And you would not only would you want to have your mushrooms that you're growing, but you want to harvest your mushrooms and put them out in the sun, because when you dry your mushrooms in sunlight, the nutrition increases by 50%. And some form of vegetable, but it's just a specific one's not coming to mind. But it's some vegetable of choice. I would also, this is going to sound, this is not exactly a food per se, but I would highly consider having some form of oil that has been clarified. So, you know, like, you know, we know it as you know, like if you go into the Middle East, or not Middle Eastern, but the Eastern store, the Indian store, you're going to find your ghee, you know, which is clarified oil, clarified butter. And you want to have that because it's easy to transport, and at the same time, that gives you your chelation. You know, if there's any kind of radiation or whatever, that clarified oil will be able to take that out of your system.
That's powerful. We have to look at, what about hemp? How do you feel about hemp?
Cool. Oh, brother, look. Do you have another century? Okay. Hemp, I'm essential on so many levels, because you got your hemp oil, you got your hemp seed, The fiber from it is the strongest natural material on the planet. In the plant world, the spider web is the strongest in the insect world, but your hemp is the strongest in the plant world. It's also the greatest carrier of electrical signals, which means that if you make your clothes out of hemp, the electrical field of the fabric will actually protect you from many diseases and or radiations, electrical fields that exist in the world we live in today. In the Museum of Natural History, where I lived when I was a kid, I walked to the museum and I look at all these different things, the armor of the Middle Ages and, the Viking ships and the dinosaur bones and, meteorites. But there was this one case that always mesmerized me because they had these two, looked like tunics or blouses. You know, they were shirts that could either be worn by men or women. And it said that these things were made 8,000 B.C., and they looked like they were brand new. Okay? Your hemp is superior on so many levels. Its illegality is going to be overturned very shortly. You can make paper out of it. You can use it for fuel. As a matter of fact, the railroad system, the locomotives were designed for hemp oil, not for coal and not for wood. I'm going to repeat that. The locomotive burns most efficiently with hemp oil. Hemp also, Mr. Henry Ford designed yes. the hemp car.
Oh, you may go there. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Hey, he took a sledgehammer and hammered it and didn't make a dip. These are all things that people, I was going to say go to the library, but people can YouTube these things or whatever they do with their computers. This is historical fact. The Egyptians, the secret to their ships was the fact that they didn't use nails or rivets or anything like that. They lashed their boards together using hemp. And, okay, so it was tight on land, but as soon as you put that in the water, that water got absorbed by the hemp rope, and then as it started to dry out, it tightened, and it was waterproof, brother. That those beams are so close together, the water couldn't get into that shit.
Wow.
So hemp is also a key player, an absolute key player, and there's a whole other biological system that operates in our system that's cannabinoidal in nature, meaning that the cannabis influences a whole other bodily system that is not acknowledged, well, it's starting to be acknowledged by Western science now. One thing that we do know is that everywhere you go, and the evidence that we find is that hemp was put into the cooking of almost, of many, many cultures, especially the higher up you go, if you got those Sherpas that lead the people up to Mount Everest or Peru and all that, they all had hemp in their butter.
How about alternative lighting sources?
Alternative?
Lighting or heating sources. Let's go with heating sources.
I'm sorry, my phone just broke up. Just say it again slower.
Choosing a particular type of source for heating, whether the shelter that we establish, which you
well,
look
see,
at.
Once again, I'm going to go back to what you said, okay? This is not, the whole idea is not to have somebody like me get up in front of people and say, this is it, okay? That's not the calling. The calling is just as you said, it's the Close Encounters of the Third Kind, where the people are led to these different methods of doing things. There are so many different, there are so many different methods that, you know, just to give you a couple of them, you know, right now we make a brick and we put mortar between the brick and we build up our house. Well, you know, if you were to put a coil in that brick before you baked it and put that brick on the inside of your house, so you put two layers. You got the first layer that you got the brick, and then you have the outside layer. Well, when you heat up your house during the daytime, that coil inside of your brick is going to absorb the heat. And at night, you can turn the heat off, and that heat will come out of the brick and heat your house.
Oh, okay.
They've been doing that in England for a long time. The fact that we don't use solar energy, wind energy, and I'm not talking about these big propeller things out in the middle of the country. I'm talking about downtown, okay? In the wintertime, you know, I walk down the street and I turn that corner and sometimes the hawk will almost knock me over. You know what I'm talking about.
I definitely know. I live in the city, yeah.
Okay. Not many.
Subway.
Okay. So why aren't we putting small turbines between these buildings and running, you know, capturing, you know, just pulling that energy right from, you know, from the fact we're going to make these designs for what we do, then we might as well be clever and pull the energy right off, you know. Also in the wintertime, you know, I walk down the street and it'll be a cold day, but I'll look at the building and I can see the heat rising up the side of the building. How come we're not tapping into that? You know, there's all manner of clever things and ways that things that can be done. You know, you got the piezoelectric effect of quartz, meaning that every time you squeeze quartz, electrons or electricity comes out. You know, so we could just make small I'll just call them carpets that we put on the highway, you know, interlace it with this quartz and just have electrical feeds off of it. So every time the car goes by, it's generating electricity. That would supply the electricity for all the lights we need at night. And that actually, if, you know, in urban areas where you've got lots of cars, there'd be more electricity than you could possibly use for lighting, you know, lighting the lights. You could run a whole bunch of stuff.
That was a good answer. Thank you. I appreciate that answer. It's not like I'm trying to squeeze you into this defining it, but just getting people to understand some interpretive that, you know, as they listen to it, you know, like we established at the beginning of the show, that they won't particularly panic. I mean, you know.
Look. I don't want to hear this, okay? Well, the answer to your question is, when a baby is born, for the first 18 months to 2 years, the way that their brain is structured, there is no concept of no. It is all creative. So therefore, the answer to your question is, we have got to keep ourselves in that all creative state where whatever the challenge is, like a baby, we laugh at it. We sit down, we start tinkering. I don't want to hear anybody say, I don't know the answer. We never knew the answer to any of this stuff until we tinker, we ask the universe for help, and we start experimenting, and we have fun. When you're having fun and you're just playing and inventing, there is no panic. It's 100% creative. Do you see any panic in the universe?
Outside of men,
I don't. Okay, there's no panic in the universe. So where did we adopt these habits from? I don't care to answer that. What I know is we need to get back to the couple oscillation that keeps us in that state where we are constantly just, you know, juggling those bowling pins or those circles in the air, and the more circles they hand to us, the more stuff they ask us to juggle, we find a way of doing that. So, you know, it's all about the eternally creative intelligence that is coming through us all the time. We're the ones that shut it down. And we need to just say, I want to activate it. Or not, it's activated. I want to remember. I want to get back to that state. I want to have fun. Because guess what? I mean, many, many black people that tell me playing is not mature. Tell that to the lion who's playing with his cubs. Tell that to all the animals. Playing is part of rehearsing for the things that come up in life. We don't say, you know, the musician is working that music. We're saying they're playing the music. Okay? So, you know, we've got to realize that this panic thing is because on the most basic level, we've stopped breathing. Panic comes from stopping breathing.
And it's there, but, I mean, when we look at, you know, it's nice for us to talk because we're kind of aware of it. When we look at a large majority of us, you know, they're not there. You know what I mean? And
once again, there is no large majority of anything. If I'm doing it, then I'm going to be spreading that energy to the people around me. And then they're going to start doing it, and then other people are going to start doing it. There's no such thing as large majority. Everything starts with individuals. And then it gets picked up and gets incorporated into society. Okay? Comparisons don't work. Buddha taught us that a long time ago. Comparisons don't work. So, you know, I remember, if I'm busy doing my thing, okay, then people are going to come up to me and say, you know, you're not on the right track. No one will ever go for that. How are you possibly going to make a living doing that? You need to get a straight job. 20 years down the road, the very same people are coming up to me and saying, oh, yeah, I remember when I was encouraging to do that. Now look at you. You really made it big. No, they didn't. That doesn't matter. We have to follow what our own innate calling is. That's remaining in the oxygen, remaining in resonance or harmony with the coupled oscillation. The longer we stay in resonance, the more we influence other people. It's our job. Looking outside of myself, it does not work. That's what causes panic.
Okay. So, because we're about 2 hours. But what I want to do is I want to get... Could you just touch on, again, for people may or may not heard, the importance of the ions and how to charge your home, you know, so by December 21st, folks can have their homes charged up?
Certainly. You know, when you talk about negative and positive ions, you know, this intimidates a lot of people because they say, I don't understand science. I don't know what it is. It's very simple. It's moving water inside of our environment. When you have moving water in nature, rivers, waterfalls, oceans, rain, snow, dew, okay, you're going to have 70% negative ions to 30% positive ions. When we live in the environments that we live in with computers and TVs and fluorescent lights, and particularly 90-degree corners in the ceilings of our homes, we've got 30% positive ions to 70% negative ions. A high negative ion ratio increases the rate of digestion, makes the brain more active, slows down anger, breaks down smoke, dust, and pollen. And without the 70-30, the melanin does not work at its full efficiency. If you got 30-70, which is most people's environment, your melanin is taking a nap. So the answer is not to fret, it's not to panic, it's not to go, oh, how dare these people do this to us. Funk that. The answer is to sit down one afternoon on a weekend, get your utility knife out, get and start cutting out triangles, and put a triangle up in each corner so that the point of the triangle, it hits one of those lines of the 90 degrees, because there's 390 degrees in every corner. So as long, the triangle's not flat against it; it's at an angle. And that's what converts the positive into negative. More important than that, you want to have a negative ion generator. Now, you can buy the machines. Usually they don't go that far. You need one for each room, whereas you can just get a glass bottle, you wrap your quartz crystal, you put the quartz crystal into the bottle, you fill it with water. You wait for 3 days, and your ion is going to be generated by that bottle. Every once a month, you pour out that water, you wipe off the copper from the quartz crystal. You don't take the copper off. You just wipe it till it's dry. You make sure it's dry. That takes a couple hours for the quartz to dry out because the water is going into the quartz. And then you fill it up with water again, and then you put it back, and you just put it back in those rooms. If you do that, you will notice there'll be less dust, you'll feel a little bit better. And the way to notice this is to go to the ocean or go to a waterfall and feel what that feels like, and then come home and put your triangles up and notice that there will be a shift in not only how you feel but how you think.
That's interesting, No,
it's not interesting. Interesting is reading the Sunday paper. This is something that the Egyptians made their entire nation so that they had canals coming off of the Nile that went through the country. They built giant, big-ass pyramids, all of which generate negative ions. There's a reason for this. They could have just kept this among the higher-ups or the high priests and whatever. They made them big enough that their entire nation was energized, and that's the couple of oscillation I'm talking about. Once again, if you try to experiment and it doesn't work, then you say it's interesting. If you try and it works, then you say, well, what else is that I can possibly do to alter my environment, and what am I waiting for? Because that overcomes the panic. When you can do something about something that's negative, it's no longer interesting. You've taken charge of healing your environment, of giving yourself a better environment to be in. And whoever comes into your house is going to benefit from that.
Can you still use the pine needles too? Because I have the crystal and I can wrap the crystal with the copper. But I have some pine needles out in the yard, too. Can I still use them also?
You can use them, but it's better if the pine is alive. Your pine tree is the tree that generates the most negative ions. You can put that around your house, but eventually it'll dry out. You replace them. Just keep replacing because it's an evergreen. So I would say, yes, burn them in your fireplace if you have that. Burn them as incense. Absolutely. your sage also generates negative ions. There are many things that generate negative ions. They got these, you know, they got those lamps now that are made out of that Tibetan salt. That's generating negative ions. The thing about these things that generate the negative ions, you're losing some of the energy if you don't block off your corners.
Okay.
Now I do this, you know, I go to different environments and I go to people's homes, I go to restaurants or grocery stores, even bars, and within 3 hours, I'm able to convert that where the people in, as soon as I'm done with all the triangles, you feel the difference.
Well, I got to get with you on that because I got to get this home cleaned up. You know, by December 21st, my goal is by the 21st to, you know, with the people that I'm bringing in, that I can incorporate a lot of things in my life for that shift. You know, I got the sound healers coming, you know, and I got numerologists coming, you know, some organ people. So we're going to do some organ generators.
Yep.
I'm trying to bring in anything so that when December 21st, I don't know why I'm getting this feeling. This is like my close encounters. Get the network, get them ready for December 21st.
You see, the fact of the matter is that on January the 2nd is when the Earth is closest to the sun. Right now, we're about 3.5 million miles closer to the sun than we were in July.
Mm-hmm.
And so, therefore, because we are so close to the sun, on January the 2nd, we get our assignment for what we're supposed to do the next year from the universe. That's part of the seeding. That's a process that goes every year. So the fact that the solstice, the winter solstice, and of course the sun starts to, you know, the day or the light start to get longer, this is indicative of the fact that we're resetting ourselves, we've been dormant for a few days, and now we're getting the new assignment of what the next year is like. And that we're supposed to go out there and actualize it. In the wintertime, of course, we experience wintertime because we, just like I said about building the house, we got to plan on it first. We can't just run out and just get some land and suddenly just start building. You know, we got to have that time of rest. And remember I said rest is the most important of the four stages of matter. So the wintertime is the rest time period, but it's also the reseeding time period. And then when spring comes, then we can start to bud again, just like the trees and the animals come back out. You know, so that's one of the things you're feeling. And of course, that's exactly what we were talking about in terms of not only coupled oscillation, but that close encounter of the third kind.
Oh.
That's your natural calling. That's organically who you are and what your I am is telling you to be. Forget to do. We have to be first. Then we can do.
Brother, I appreciate you. And I hope you come back and visit. Plus,
I certainly will. Now, see, once again, I don't have a website yet, but I don't just talk about this stuff. I make the stuff that I'm talking about that exemplifies all these different things in nature. You know, 99% of the things I make are imitations or mimicking what nature actually does. And I just happen, through my studying of all this stuff, I just happen to start reproducing these things, not realizing how connected it all was. And over time, the universe led me to a greater artistic expression in terms of gifting me with learning how to make all this stuff. And now there's, you know, what I'm trying to do is show people the connection that, you know, what most people call sacred geometry, those five shapes are the five basic shapes of the water molecule. You know, you find those five shapes throughout, you know, in bacteria and in plants and in solar systems. And, you know, and do, from the smallest thing to the biggest thing, those five archetypal shapes are everywhere. And once we realize that we may vibrate primarily to one of them, but we use all of them in our lives, then that's another way that we overcome the panic, because we realize we're part of a system. We're part of a system, and right now the illusion that we have is that we're not part of a system. We don't necessarily have to be part of the American system, part of a system, you know. And it could be smaller than that. It could be your neighborhood, or it could be bigger than that. It could be, you know, the planetary system, or it could be, you know, our galactic system. But as long as we feel we have a place and a function, we're going to be fine. And I'm more than willing to sit down and play with people and share the enthusiasm and joy and the functionality, because some people like to make this stuff. Some people like to, you know, energize their homes with this stuff. Other people, you know, want to know more the technical nature of, you know, or how can I apply it to my field or this field. It's all good. It's all sharing. It's all giving us a function and a role. How about that?
Yeah, it's beautiful. I mean, truly beautiful. My concern is, like, just where I try to lead the conversation is that what if we just wake up tomorrow and it happens every month? You know, opposed to having the planning, it could just wake up and it's there, that you can't go anywhere, and the ones that can go anywhere, you know, going to have to go somewhere and survive, you know, and start from scratch. But I appreciate the way that you
call it. You call upon the oscillation. You know that wherever you've been placed, whatever circumstances you've been placed in, that is where you're supposed to work from. Maybe it's because I've been hit by lightning more than once, and I've actually literally been hit by a tornado, that these political things and these temporary little short-term things just don't affect me as much. You know, when something's traveling 300 miles, you know, per hour, spinning around, and it lets you live, you know, I truly got the feeling that I was supposed to do something. So,
I agree with that, you know, because I spoke with them, and, you know, with some things they showed me where some disasters were going to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I questioned them about, there was a lot of people that lived there, and they told me the people they want out, they will get out. And, you know, now years later, I'm seeing that there is a lot of people moving out of New York City. You know what I'm saying? So they get people to listen. You know, my concern was just, since you have the expertise, was to try to get a little more specific. So we would have like an A-list of, look at this. But it's still cool that
the so-called expertise only comes from letting go of having a need for control, because it's already perfectly aligned, and everything else is working itself out already. Then the expertise comes, and I will gladly share both sides of it, you know, whether it's meditation or breathing, or if how to reinforce one's health, how to energize one's food, you know, all of that. It all comes first from being aligned. That's my experience. And once again, I have to greatly acknowledge my grandma Cindy, Lucinda Wallace, who had lived through much more horrific circumstances than I could ever imagine, And at 89, she was smiling. And at 99, in that garden with me, she was still smiling. So if she can do it, I'm supposed to be doing it.
And peace to you.
That's all I can say.
Father beloved, give your information. You know, let the people know.
Okay. Okay.
Your phone number.
Yeah, my phone number.
Let them know your blog talk show.
My phone is 215-609-6586, and I have I'm the co-host. I'm not the host, but I'm the co-host of a show on Blog Talk Radio from 7 to 9 p.m. on Thursdays called Crystals, Magnets, and Pyramids. The host is Brother Ankh Rising Sun, who has decades of expertise in water purification using crystals and magnets for every function that we could possibly imagine. And we have on guests and we share as much direct functional information as possible. And we also try to highlight people in the healing community and their path and what they do. And I want to thank you once again for having me on. I do answer my phone, meaning I don't have a secretary. I don't, you know, I will answer people's questions, and that's it.
And I got to give it to you. I still want the name of that song y'all played, that one theme song. That song was so powerful. You know, and I actually left you a message about it. I'm going to have to go back. It was the show that you did with a couple of when they were doing the festival in Baltimore, and I don't know where brother got that song from. It was really nice.
Right, definitely.
Well, I appreciate you. You know you have a home here.
Everything is, you know, you can go back and find it because everything is archived. I'll find it for you.
So I can call them and tell you because it was that particular show. It's been about a month or so ago. I played the beginning of y'all show about 8 times. That song. No, because it was more than like that Brazilian lounge music.
Yeah,
it was really
like
that's powerful. But yeah, you know you have a home here, so if you need to come on or if you want to come teach something, you know you're welcome. We're revving up till December 21st, so if you get inspired, divinely inspired, let me know. You want to give some information, and then I'll set the show up for you because I want folks to be ready. I don't know what's going on.
The next time I come back on, I'll be able to show people what I'm talking about because that's what I'm waiting on. So, you know, I don't want to just talk. I want people to be able to see what I'm talking about. And step by step, show them some of the things that we've learned over the years. You know, talking and intellectualizing and all this up in the air stuff, just that doesn't cut it, you know. My grandma said it didn't come to me and talk about the sky and the wind. She talked about, you know, putting the stuff in the ground, turning it over, you know, looking at the soil, putting it in my hand, you know, breathing the stuff, looking at what kind of birds come. As I said, looking at so-called weeds and blessing them because they're telling you what nutrients are lacking.
That's so powerful, too. And you know, I won't go into the disaster thing, but I started with a little garden, so I'm learning, you know, each year. It's a lot of fun. And, you know, and I was talking to a friend, and we was laughing about, because of our age, we're less than a generation away from folks who's naturally raised in food and how much it costs now to eat the way we grew up eating. You know what I mean? Like, you know, it's amazing how they didn't market it. They made it country for black people and put us on oodles and noodles. And then they, you know what I'm saying? And then they come up with the whole food. So to get a farm-raised egg is $4. You know, it's like, oh, my God. You know what I'm saying? That was a clever move. You know, because my mother used to buy cows and chickens and, you know, like that.
Sure, absolutely. You're guinea hens and all of that type stuff.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. You know, and they made us ashamed of it. And then now they've made almost our entire race totally dependent on on something that they can turn off tomorrow and stick us in the Unidome. And that's just my icon for our race. That, you know what I'm saying? It's like that Unidome thing through Katrina was amazing. But they, you know, they corral black folks in there, they watch how they react. You know what I'm saying? It's a true.
Yes, I do.
You know.
Yes, I do. But it's coming back around, brother. Look.
Yes,
look,
it is.
You know, let's forget all this metaphysical stuff for just a moment. Okay? Let's go to the store, get our rock salt, and get our ice cream maker, stuff in there, and churn some ice cream. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You know what? Years ago, I found one,
mm-hmm.
and I bought it, you know, because when I grew up, my parents, that was what we did on picnic times. My mom, I lost my mom's recipe. I'm really pissed
mm-hmm.
about it. You know, because she had a recipe, you know, for making it. You had to have that special little milk with the little cow
mm-hmm.
on it, and then
right.
mix it around and churn it. Yeah, oh yeah. Because mm-hmm. I didn't even want an electric one. It seemed like
mm-hmm.
it always tastes better when you worked and churned it.
That's
yeah.
right. That's right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so, family, Brother Lester Loving. He's on the Ringing Stone Network. We've enjoyed him once again. Hopefully he comes back before the end of the year. If not, maybe he'll come back and explain to us the January 2nd reset. And I'm hopefully not putting you on the spot, but that would be nice to know so people can
yeah.
sit around and say, look, you know what, I'm going to sit down on January 2nd and let so, you know, maybe we can get that, or maybe I can get it recorded and play it for folks, because I'm going to play some pre-recorded stuff on December 22nd. And yeah, family. And tomorrow, remember tomorrow we have Brother Eddie Harris, fantastic numerologist. He hangs around with Brother Robert S. This is Chicago product coming out. So please stop by for that. And I appreciate you, brother. You know, thank you. And I will give you a call, and so we can talk again. Peace
All
and
right.
love, family.
I appreciate it too. Thank you.
Peace.